The Goon Show.
It's hardly worth your while coming here, is it, Bob?
My dear Seacomb. There's much more, you know.
Oh, well done. What? Oh,
yes, because, you see, this week it's Jim Spriggs's immortal book.
Yes.
Six Charlies in Search of an Author.
Thank you. Chapter one, Neddy Meets Great Pipe Thin.
Good heavens! I'm supposed to meet Great Pipe Thin in chapter one. I'd better hurry.
Oh, you must be the Charlie I'm supposed to meet in chapter one.
Correct.
What a thrilling start.
My name is Neddy Seagoon.
There's one in every family.
What?
Do you mind facing west when you do that? It gets all over me. Now, to whom do I owe the pleasure of this nauseating visit?
The author.
Of course. You must excuse me. I'm only new in this book, though.
I see. What part do you play?
I'm a bone specialist.
What do you want?
Bones.
I haven't got any bones.
Nonsense. You'd fall down without them.
You'd fall down without them.
You'd fall down without them. Take your choice. I know. I know for a fact that you have a large number of them tucked away somewhere.
Have you been prying into my family album of X-rays?
Moriarty, tell him what you found.
Ah, it's a pretty spawn, my will. Mr. Seagoon, quietly. I'm getting nowhere fast tonight. So a Merry Christmas to you all.
It's
a pretty spawn, let me tell you, Mr. Seagoon. We have a very compromising X-ray photograph of two sets of bones. Yours and the ladies.
It's a lie. We're just friends. How much do you want for that X-ray?
£10, Neddy, to be paid in money before chapter 10.
Yes, and don't try and slip past us, Neddy, because we've got an armed man in the index.
Curses. So they're going to catch me by the index. Oh, dear readers, here am I, due to marry the beautiful millionaire-ness, Gladys Minkwater, in chapter 8.
Wow.
Before then, I must get that compromising X-ray photograph back. £10 they want, eh? The nearest pawn shop. Put your foot down and keep the flag up.
Right, mate. Oh, got it, mate. That's three bob on the clock.
Right. Here's a pound for your trouble.
Oh, I ain't got no trouble, mate.
You have now, mate. That pound's a forgery.
No, mate. Good morning, sir. Welcome to chapter two.
Thank you. Now, I should like a pawn myself.
I'm sorry, we don't take antiques here, sir.
Have a care, old prune-faced fossil.
Aye,
but an antique. Look, here's the date of my birth stamped on the bottom.
Oh. This is a Welsh birthmark. Go up to the fourth floor, room 3.
Right.
Is it, sir?
I'd like to pawn myself.
Who sent you up here?
You did.
Then you've come to the right man. Get into this lift.
Going down. Page 18. 17, page 16. 15. Chapter 1. Runs pawn shop. Seagoon enters and pawns himself. What's a very small part for me, this.
Satisfied men, you naughty.
We're back where we started. What do you send me up to the fourth floor for?
To get me.
Get you? Wait a minute. How did you get up there before me?
I I skipped a couple of pages.
I've got a good mind to tell the author.
No, no, don't do that. He might have me killed off in a later chapter, don't.
Now look, Mr. Crutton, how much money will you give me on me?
Well, first I must scrutinize you with an intense scrut. Just take your clothes off.
I need the room.
Now lie under this magnifying glass.
It's cold, isn't it? Oh, bad. How do I look?
Oh, even bigger. Just stand on these scales, please. £18.
Shall I put the other leg on now?
As dead weight alone, I'll offer you £10. You'll come in useful for filling in holes.
Done!
You certainly have been. Did you hear that joke? Did you?
10 years ago. Now, where's the money?
There, £10 in crisp green farthings.
Come. Goodbye.
No, wait, wait. You can't go till someone comes to redeem you.
What?
Kindly step into this safe and Gilray, play me the key.
Looking!
Charlie's in search of an author, folks. Chapter 3, in which I see fit to have the character Nelly Seagoon still inside Crumb's fiendish pawn shop safe.
Yes, dear readers, inside the safe all was dark. I took out a book of matches and began to read it. Page 1. To ignite match, detach one and strike it against bottom.
What?
By the light of my burning trousers, I could see that...
Put that light out! Put that light out, my good man! Put that... Who? Who put that light out? Who put that light out? Not the back out! Not the back out! Not the put on the light out! Oh, I don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, not right.
The idiot stranger was a complete idiot stranger to me. He was tall and clad in a cement sack with an outlet at the base. His legs were neat and carefully pressed. And on his head he wore a rubber dinghy with a handmade cardboard peak.
Hello, Arnoldo. Are you pawned yourself?
Yes. I'm pledge number 32. Have you got a pledge number?
No. I only pawned my socks.
Oh, then why don't you go home?
I can't get my boots off.
Chapter 4, in which Seagull has a brilliant idea.
What is it?
I want to redeem myself.
Certainly. £10, please.
Now to buy back that compromising X-ray photograph. Where did I put that? £10. It's gone. I've been robbed. What happens now, Mr. Greenfield? I must know.
Well, you see, I hate peeking at the end of the book, but in Chapter 7, Gripite Theatre Moriarty shipped the compromising X-ray photograph in the plain wrapper to an art connoisseur in Paris.
Thank you, boys. It just gave me time to smuggle her out of the room.
Make your blood
up! It's alive! Naughty postcards. I've never heard of them, I tell you. How dare you come in here and offer me money for these postcards over there, which are not here.
Major, enough of this needle nozzle
noo. No.
Major, please.
What?
For the compromising X-ray photo of myself and a lady, how much do you want?
10,000 francs. He's fainted in the direction of down. Doris, darling.
Yes, darling.
Help me lift him in the direction of up.
All right.
I haven't got 10,000 francs.
What?
Right.
Throw him in the direction of up.
Wait. I have got 10 pounds.
Put him in the direction of down again. Wait, don't turn the page over yet. I recognize that wallet. It's young Private Nigel Seagun, retired. My ex-Batman and Spawn runner. Oh.
Dear listeners, for the benefit of those of you who do not know what a spawn runner is, neither do I. I just want you to know that you are not alone. Wallace is one of you. And now, Chapter 7, page 72. Seagun does not recognize Major Bloodnock.
Major Bloodnock! I didn't recognize you in that false room.
Well, I was only wearing it to keep the rain off. I wouldn't wear it out of doors, of course.
Of course. Let me help you off with
this. Thank you. Good heavens, we're outside and it's raining in the direction of down.
You had better put your room on in the direction of on.
Oh, that's better. It's much warmer with this direction on. Now, Nelly, pull up a chair and sit down.
I'd rather stand if you don't mind.
Oh, well, pull up a floor then.
Major, please, don't choke. Don't choke.
Oh, come here. I'm sorry. I can't help it, you know.
Major, please don't. I must have that compromising X-ray photo.
Kuchney doing it, Edward. Kuchney, I can't help it, I'm afraid. It's in that safe, and Gripite has the key. And there's nothing on this page we can open it with.
Well, I'll write something in. Let me see. Looking around the room that Dudnock was wearing, Neddy's eye lit upon the following. 1 18-foot crowbar and 1 sledgehammer.
What a splendid piece of descriptive writing. Now, who's going to do all the work?
Without hesitation, brave Bloodnock picked up the crowbar and began to force open the safe.
Oh, you cad, Edward, making me do all that. Give me the typewriter, will you? Neddy, horrified at the sight of a retired Indian Army major laboring, snatched the crowbar and set to work himself.
It's starting to give.
You two characters. Stop, I say.
It's a copper.
I'm not a policeman.
I beg your pardon, madam.
I'm not a policewoman either.
Hey, you're cutting it rather fine, aren't you?
The newcomer was a small pair of pince-nez spectacles, tied in a writing desk with the drawers open.
Put a curb on your tongue, fellow.
Tongue.
I am Jim Spriggs, author of this book. I put you in it.
Right in it.
Silence.
Look here, if you're the author, couldn't you have made me a little younger?
What?
I mean, in chapter 3, I met a delightful young lady, but alas, my fires had gone out.
You're not funny.
What?
I've made sure you don't get any older.
Oh.
On the next page, you'll run over by a steamroller lamp.
Yeah. Mr. Author, I implore you, I've got to get that safe open.
Fear not, little Jean. Fear not, little Jean. I'll write a new character who will assist you. The door opened, and a virile figure leapt into the center of the room.
Helicadine! Springy's in the center of the room. Spring!
Stay a moment, steaming lad. Did I write you in?
Yes.
It's no good. I shall have to go to the country for a long rest.
Who are you, little blotchy lad?
I will show you. Moves right, keeping hole in seat of trousers away from vulgar gaze of audience. Nothing. Whip, whip, whip. Takes off false boots, revealing false feet.
Hi! So that's who you are.
Yes. What a... Secret agent Bluebottle, the mastermind behind the second Finchley Wolf Cub.
Yes, but can you blow open the safe?
Yes, you, but me. No, I cannot blow it open. Wait a moment. I know what I shall do. I shall insert my licorice in the keyhole.
Well, we need an explosion.
Licorice is an explosive.
No, no. No, we daren't risk any loud explosions. The author might hear us.
I have got an idea. Electric light bulb lights up above head. Flash, 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 it goes. I have got a packet of silent TNT, which I read it about in Black Claw, Emperor of the Universe. In the boys' mag, price tuppence with free elastic and cardboard jet fighter.
Silent TNT. Quick, light it, little Timbery lad, and put it under the safe.
No, 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 wait. What? First let me sing my bit, and then I can clear off, mate. I'm so happy. I'm so happy, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Comes a message just for you, and I promise to be true from the bottom of my heart. See the glow in my eyes. See the happiness in my smile. I'm satisfied with your love from the bottom of my heart. Now when I see you coming down the street, I say that's the girl for me. Now the blues have me prisoner for a long, long time. Well, at last you set me free from the bottom of my heart. Comes a message just for you, and I promise to be true from the bottom of my heart. That's the girl for me. Now the blues have me a prisoner for a long, long time. Well, at last you've set me free from the bottom of my heart. Comes a message just for you, and I promise to be true from the bottom of my heart. 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 From the bottom of my heart.
Yeah! Thank you. fuse of the silent TNT. Quick!
Oh,
we're still in the room.
Oh,
of course we are. I'm still wearing it.
Quick, get this room off!
What's that?
Oh, you just opened the pipe. Let's get it off now. Go on, Captain.
Come on, then.
Mumble.
Dear listeners, I don't know about you, but I find this all rather far-fetched. And as soon as it's all over, I'm going to tell John Snag.
Oh, you BBC devil, you!
Blue Bottle, how do I know when the silent TNT has exploded?
Eh? Well, I never thought of that. I suppose that when you hear nothing, that's it.
Can't anybody hear it explode?
Only idiots. Did you hear anything, Captain?
No.
Good. Because only idiots can hear explosions like that.
Here! What was that big explosion? That blew me backwards out of my underpants. I'm back to front now. For Christmas, of course.
So you heard it too?
Yeah.
No comments. Help me on with this room and we'll see if the safe's blown open.
Hands up, you stealing fool!
You said that before.
Yes, Neddy, that was only a recording of a silent explosion, specially written in without the author's knowledge.
Oh? Well, two can play at that game.
What do you mean?
Moriarty's finger squeezed the trigger, but there was only a hollow.
Sapristi! He's written in an empty gun for me.
Never mind. Before Seagoon could alter the next line, Gritpipe and Moriarty were already on the motorboat, speeding up the Amazon River with the compromising X-ray photo safely in the hold.
What's going on here, Jing? What's going on here? What are those men doing sailing up the Amazon River in my book? Don't you dare change another word.
Hands up, Mr. Arthur.
What? Oh, you great big leaping crab, you. Don't be a fool. Drop that typewriter.
The author turned and left the room.
I can't agree with you, Albert.
Let's get rid of him.
Now what?
Can I have a go at that typewriter, Captain? In a matter of seconds, balloon buttons was at the helm of a powerful elastic-driven speedboat, chasing the naughty grit pipe sins of the Hamadon. But suddenly, they was attacked by Black Claw and his Chinese pirates. And the boys
met.
You blithering idiot! What were you written us into? Quick, swim for the bank!
Not here, I'm overdrawn. No, no.
Here.
Let me help you out.
Nichols, how did you get ashore?
I walked across on that log.
That's not a log, it's a crocodile.
Oh. I wonder why my legs kept getting shorter.
Listeners. Listeners will note that that was a repeat of the joke first heard in the Goon Show, second series, 1952. Repeated by special request of the authors. I should like to remind listeners that there are now only 364 shopping days to Christmas.
Good heavens! We must hurry!
What a...
Make the crown in the Amazon!
How did you get out here?
Somebody gave me a typewriter and here I am.
Well... They're completely lost.
I suspect the listeners are, too.
We must find our way to Chapter 10.
We must find our way to Chapter 10.
We must thank you, and good night, Billy Shun. We must find a way to Chapter 10. That's where Gritpipe's heading for. Come on, and keep your eyes open for a 211A bus.
What for?
It goes right past Brixton Jail.
Why do you want to go right past there?
Well, I don't want to go in.
It's
the offer!
Thank heavens. I say, look here. Could you write us in a good dinner? We're starving, you know.
Don't worry, steaming lads. I've written a happy ending for you all on the next page. So go on, turn it over.
I now pronounce you, Neddy Seagoon, and you, Gladys Minkwater, man and wife, and leave you to discover which is which.
Oh, and we live happily ever after.
But even as Seagoon and his mullion terrace bride stepped outside, she noticed in the crowd a certain handsome virile youth, Wolfcup Bleedbutter. So she ran over to his car and...
Who gave him the typewriter? Come back! You're too young for that sort of thing!
That's what you think!
And once again, the BBC recorded program featuring Peter Sellers, Harry Seagoon, and Spike Finnegan, with the relative quartet, Max Gilray, and the orchestra conducted by Wally Stott. Script by Spike Finnegan and Larry Stevens. Announcer Wally Skeenslade. The program produced by Pat Dixon.
Thank you.